Now, sticking with ancient history, a mystery of human evolution over the last million years or so is why we're here, but the handful of other early human ancestors that originally evolved alongside us, like the Neanderthals, for instance, have disappeared. Now, a new study from Penn State University's Gary Perdue makes an intriguing case for fire as the cause. Smoke inhalation would have been a very serious threat for early man, but it appears that modern humans have evolved a reduced sensitivity to the chemicals in smoke so they don't trigger so much inflammatory damage to our airways. Looking at the equivalent genes in Neanderthals, though, shows that they didn't have this protective change, which perhaps has contributed to their demise.
We work on a receptor, it's called the aryl hydrocarbon receptor, or AH receptor, that senses external chemicals in the environment. So if you're exposed to smoke from a diesel bus or from a fire, there's many chemical constituents in that smoke that'll actually bind and activate this receptor. And the overall idea is that once this receptor is activated, it increases the expression of enzymes that will metabolize and help your body get rid of those chemicals.
Right, so we're endowed with a system for detecting nasties in the environment and dealing with them. But obviously we didn't evolve in the context of buses spewing out diesel fumes and that kind of thing. So why would we have this naturally?
Probably the most obvious response to that would be this concept that plants have a lot of different chemicals that they express in order to keep animals from eating them. So this system would evolve probably to largely deal with our dietary exposures.
What's the relevance then to combustion?
Out in the wild, you wouldn't be exposed to smoke constituents except for if you started to utilize fire and you stay in close proximity to that fire on a day-in, day-out basis, then that would become an issue.
And what influence might that have had on us genetically then?
So then the idea would be is that if this receptor was hyperactivated by that exposure, that could lead to toxicity. It's good to have response to low levels of dietary chemicals so you can get rid of those and deal with them. But if you, all of a sudden you're exposed to high levels of these compounds in smoke, you're going to breathe them in your lung and it's going to cause lung toxicity.
Sounds a bit paradoxical then. You detoxify the smoke, but in the process you do damage. Why would that happen?
The kinds of chemical reaction that this enzyme catalyzes leads to intermediates that are reactive, but our body has a way to deal with them effectively at low levels. So it's not a problem except for when you produce them at too high of a rate.
Oh, so if we're exposed to a lot of smoke, then this is overloading the system and therefore potentially doing harm. And your argument would be, have we therefore evolved to become less susceptible or less sensitive to these sorts of chemicals compared with other animals because of our use of fire?
Yes, exactly.
Right, so if I look at our human ancestors, we know that there was Homo erectus. That was around a million years ago or so until more recently. It then splits off and you get anatomically modern humans, us, and you also get Neanderthals coming off. So if one compares Neanderthals with anatomically modern humans, us, do both Neanderthals and us have this smoke handling capacity?
It turns out that the Neanderthal sequence for this receptor, they would metabolize these compounds more rapidly than humans.
How do you know that?
There are three Neanderthal genomic sequences. The entire genome of Neanderthals was sequenced. So once we could get the full DNA sequence for this gene, we were able to synthesize it artificially. There's companies that will do this for you now. And so we have the full-length sequence for the Neanderthal receptor and the human receptor that we can now compare experimentally. The way we do this is we'll introduce these DNA sequences into a cell line that doesn't express the AH receptor, and then these cells will express it, and we can expose them to increasing amounts of polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons and look at the ability of each receptor to increase the level of these metabolizing enzymes.
Wow, so you're effectively recreating a fossil gene, a Neanderthal gene, in the modern context and seeing how it changes the behavior of cells in the presence of these chemicals. And you're saying that the Neanderthal equivalent responds very differently than the modern human equivalent.
Yes, the Neanderthal has a 150 to as much as 5,000-fold difference in its ability to increase expression of these enzymes.
Now, one obvious thing about Neanderthals is that they are no longer with us. Would you contend then that one factor that might contribute to their disappearance is that they didn't evolve to handle smoke as well as we did, and that they were possibly being killed off by their own campfires?
Yes, that would increase their susceptibility to diseases and infections because of lung toxicity. Or even in their gastrointestinal tract, they were eating charcoal broiled foods, which I'm sure they weren't the greatest cooks and probably were a bit blackened at times.
So there you go. In order to enjoy your barbecue, you have your ancient ancestors to thank. That was Gary Perdue, and his work was published recently in the Journal of Molecular Biology and Evolution.